This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey everybody, and Happy New Year from Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. Maybe you have a New Year's resolution to start listening to marriage podcasts. I'm glad that you picked us. This month, we have a lot going on interview-wise, but mostly we just like to hang out and talk to each other, which is what we're doing today. So I want to thank you for joining us. I want to wish you the very best of 2023, and I hope you pick up something that you can use in your relationship from this podcast, because this is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah. Have you labeled for yourself your theme for 2023?
Yes. I think purge is the word that I've landed on.
Purge.
Purge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tell me about it.
I think I'm really ready to purge things. I love to be in a minimalist lifestyle. It's something that was very comfortable for me growing up. I moved a lot, like every 2 years or so. I would move states, I would move houses, I would move states, and I basically lived out of a few boxes, and I would love to go back to that place. It's very comfortable for me to have less, so I'd like to go through my house and purge a lot of things, but I also am in a place of purging people, purging, I don't even know. I'm trying to figure out spirituality, like what needs to purge, like what do I need to get rid of? So yeah, I'm kind of like in the mood to do some purging.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm not sure, but I think I'm going to adopt something around flexibility. Very literally, I'll turn 50 this year. I cannot touch my toes. I am among the least flexible people I know in terms of my actual body. Mm-hmm. Every time I get off my Peloton, Hannah's like, go ahead and do a 5-minute stretch. And I'm like, nope. Not going to do it. You know, I've got 3 foam rollers in my house that I've never touched, but they're supposed to be good for you.
Yeah.
I've started rowing a lot. I'm on my rower a lot. So
hold on. So in your house, you don't have a treadmill. You have a bike, Peloton.
I've got a Peloton and a rowing.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
So I've not been on my bike so much, but I've been rowing a lot, which is a whole different muscle group or set of muscle groups. And I get off and I'm like, oh, I should stretch, but I don't do it. Mm. So I think very, very physically, I'm going to try and adopt stretching or yoga or something. Mm-hmm. But then I think I've gotten to be a little more rigid in some of my thinking that deserves to be revisited. Mm. And generally, I'm pretty open-minded. I can do metaphor. I can do gray a lot, but
yeah.
I think I need to like kind of broaden my, I don't know. It doesn't work as well in my brain or my spirituality perhaps, but I think flexibility is going to have to be a big theme for me in the next year.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's fun. So I have in addition, a couple of things. I also have a friend who's working on his flexibility. I asked him what his daily routine is, and for like 30 minutes, that's what he's doing is he's working stretches. He stretches and he's working on hips, rotation, the whole nine yards.
See, my problem is I can't, and maybe this is closer to what I need to work on. I'm no good at weightlifting or stretching because I don't I don't find them very efficient. Like I want, when I'm biking or rowing, I'm like, then I'm sweating and I've got some benchmarks or whatever. But like with rowing and stretching, with stretching and lifting, there's like a much slower payoff. Maybe it's more valid or more real or more helpful, but it's never been, it hasn't played. So maybe I need to be more, I don't know. I got to figure it out. But
okay.
I've got a month.
Until the new January comes
along.
Until
the new January.
That's funny. Okay. I like it. The other thing that I'm doing, in addition to picking my word, that is my intention for the year, is I think I'm going to write a list of 25 books that I want to read.
Okay.
And so I'll make a list of those.
It's 2 books a month.
I know. That should be doable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing that I'm planning on doing.
I have a problem. I tried reading a book over the holidays and I couldn't do it because I was so used to like just being on my phone where I could sort of be like, oh, I'm bored with this word puzzle. Now I'm going to go check my email. Now I'm bored with this email. Now I'm going to go see what's on Instagram. Now I'm bored with Instagram. So I'm going to go back to my word puzzle or something. And I need to figure out how to just get back to the part where I just sit down with a book for an hour or two.
I'm also trying to figure out how to get rid of my phone. So, you know, I got rid of actually Instagram. I've been off of Instagram for a very long time. I got onto Facebook. I probably only had it active for maybe a week and a half, but I can totally disconnect it.
Yeah.
Once I get rid of those two things, it's easier for me to check into reading rather than like watching shows. But it would be kind of fun to have a challenge to see, you know, like if we could create a ritual of maybe putting our phones in a drawer or turning it off at like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And then I go to bed at 9.
Right on.
Okay. Let's talk about other stuff. Stuff about couples.
Well, I will say this too. Mercifully, the fantasy football season is over or ending here very soon. We both flamed out pretty quickly. Somebody's still winning. ESPN deleted my league. I have no idea what's happening. You're in charge, basically, of finding out who's in charge of winning and stuff.
No idea.
It's probably those people from Denver or something. But but here's what I liked. I really liked, until ESPN deleted my thing for whatever reason, I liked being in touch with our people.
Okay.
Like it was really fun to have like a thing that we were doing.
That makes
one
of us.
I don't know. It was 10 other couples besides us, but we were kind of giving and receiving a little bit of feedback. They called us mom and dad and they, whatever. We need to find out something that helps us stay connected to our people, a little project or something. I'd be into that.
Well, we do have coming up a workshop that we're going to be offering.
You don't say.
I do say. Did we kind of nail down the date?
No, I don't know. I didn't do that on purpose, by the way. I was just thinking about how I'm going to be sad to not have a little sub project to work on. But I think it is in March, the first weekend of March.
Yeah.
Hold on. I can pull it up real quick.
Oh, okay. But we do have a workshop that we have offered before. It's been probably about 3 years since we have done a workshop.
Because we used to do it
together.
In real life.
Right. In person. But we are going to do it virtually. You have to attend the workshop as a partnership. So you can't show up as just yourself. But we will be doing it. It'll be, I think, 2 days, maybe three.
It's the first weekend of March.
Cool.
So you can...
We'll put some more details together, but that is one way where we can stay connected. We can have very personal interaction with you. If you are looking for a way to, connect with the two of us, learn some things, most definitely connect deeper with your partner and
connect
learn some
with
skills.
Each other. Yeah.
So that's coming up.
And I'll come up with some other project because I liked it. It was fun for me and I don't play anything. I don't play fantasy baseball or basketball. It's all useless. So,
and you we'll probably noticed I did nothing.
I didn't notice. I know that you beat me twice, which was problematic for me. I did get a couple of emails and we don't have a specific big thing, but I got a couple of people on the Instagram. The last time we did an episode, I said something about, do you remember I said, I have a top 5 things that people come back to me and they talk to me about. They say, this was really helpful. And we talked about 2 of them. One of them was the yellow flags. We talked about that on the break taking episode.
Right, right.
And then I talked about how often I'll recommend that people sleep naked on Wednesdays.
I don't actually remember you saying that.
Yeah, no, it's when people are talking about sex and actually let's go ahead and tee this up. We got to talk to Emily Nagoski a few weeks ago. So that'll be coming up in the next week or two. And I heard it from her, basically. She said people who are trying to have sex or improve their sex life, they have to do two things. They have to be naked and they have to be lying down. They have to be prone. Remember you learned the word prone in this episode?
Yeah. Yes.
So I often, so that's two of the things that I usually give people and they say, oh yeah, these are really helpful. So people were like, what are the others?
Right.
So we could talk about those.
All right. Well, let's do it then. Tell me the three other things.
Sure. Well, one is also, we've talked about on the episode, but they, on a podcast before, and I can't remember which one it was, but I talked about how I think conversations ought to end with the spirit of, hey, let's go get some ice cream.
Okay.
Remember this? Mm-hmm. We're like, I think if you're going to be in a long-term committed relationship with somebody and you're trying to make it work and you're trying to pick your battles and you're trying to solve problems, you're like, you ought to posture every conversation to end with the possibility of getting ice cream. So like, are you confused?
Well, yeah.
What I mean is like, if like, imagine having an argument, like even a meaningful one about, you know, I don't know, let's say end of the year giving and you've got $5,000 to give away and you're kind of arguing, oh, I want to give it to environment. Well, mm-hmm. I want to give it to this political thing. Well, I want to give it to homeless people, whatever. And maybe that gets testy or whatever. It doesn't have to though, because imagine that conversation ending with, all right, well, let's get some ice cream. And now we're just like kind of back into a posture of, we both want the same thing, which is to be pleasant and to be enjoying a treat. And it's hard to get there exactly. But I think when you give people a vision for how a conversation should end, then maybe it helps you understand how you can be in it. So, you know, again, if we're having and the story I told was about how my girlfriend in college broke up with me and then I was really mad about it. And I said, well, let's go get some ice cream. Cause that was how two friends were going to end that conversation. We weren't going to end up being boyfriend and girlfriend anymore, but we ended up being like civil and I got some ice cream. I dropped her off at her house and we weren't dating anymore. That was that. Hmm. So people talk to me about how that is often like a good reminder. That's on my list of top five things.
Okay. It makes me think about having, like some people just sort of stew, like they don't know what to do. Yeah. They know they're uncomfortable. They know that there's tension, but it's sort of like, well, what's the end goal? Do I just sit here with this discomfort? Do we solve the problem? And often couples can't solve the problem. So it's sort of like,
no.
All right, well then let's get some ice cream.
Get some ice cream. Yeah. Okay. That's next. Let's just like do that. So again, I think the spirit of that tool is having a vision for how the conversation should end.
Mm-hmm.
If you can stay connected to how you want it to end, because I always ask couples in my practice when they tell me about an argument I say, how did it end? Tell me how it ended.
Right.
And it's not always, but it's often something open-ended or something violent, or we just let it drop or it just didn't work. And
yeah.
I'm like, well, what if it ended with ice cream? What has to happen to get you there?
I like that. I like starting conversations off with simply saying, all right, you guys have something important you want to talk about? Okay, well, before we get started, what's your intention? What are you hoping will be the end result? And, you know, she goes, oh, you know, I just really want to feel heard and understood. Awesome. Great news. Right. What do you want? Oh, I just really want, I want to feel like you are yielding. Like what I have to say is important and you're considering my thoughts. Okay, awesome. So we start with the end. And I think too often we never truly understand, one, what our own need is or what the purpose is of the conversation. And second, what our partner wants. And then I would put a time limit. Like I love that you could say to your partner, can we just talk about this for 30 minutes? And if we don't solve the problem, let's go get some ice cream.
Totally.
We'll circle back.
Which is kind of connected to another thing that's on my list of the top five things.
Okay.
I always tell people about the best meeting you've ever been to.
No.
Did I ever tell you about the best meeting you've ever been to?
What kind of meeting are we talking about?
Okay. Meeting starts at 9:00.
Okay.
Everybody comes into the meeting and the guy in charge of the meeting says, we have to make a decision by 9:30.
Got it.
There are, we're going to talk about it for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At 9:20, we're going to vote. There are 9 people in this meeting. So 5 votes wins. We'll be out of here by 9:25.
Man.
And even if the guy says at 9:20, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to smoke a cigarette. I'm going to come back and tell you what my decision is.
Okay.
Everyone is clear.
Yeah.
What the discussion period is.
Mm-hmm.
And what their role is, and then how the decision's getting made. Now, I was in nonprofit for 10 years before I was a therapist, and I never went to that meeting. The meeting I always went to was like this, like, hey, everybody, welcome to the meeting. How was your weekend? Did you get a donut? What's on your mind? What about this thing we have to do? And then we're talking about it. And now it's 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
No decision's been made, except that somebody's going to make it in a vacuum, and they're going to make it, and I'm going to be mad about it because I didn't have my opinion weighed and I didn't participate. And how did that decision get made? And even though I had this other opinion, the boss was going to make it. And I think couples have that meeting way more often than the first meeting.
Yeah. It sounds like the first 10 minutes of every podcast is just like, you don't accomplish anything. And then we finally go, okay, now what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we run out of time.
Yeah.
But I think when I tell people about this, I say, you know, if you have a decision to make, for example, about how to spend $5,000 at the end of the year, before the end of the year, you ought to have a very clear understanding of what the discussion period is, and then how the decision's getting made. Because absent those two things, you're just talking about stuff. You're just talking about things. And then, but at some point, the decision has to get made. And I think that has to be a very clearly separated part of a discussion, particularly around a decision making. And then if it was a blog post, of course, I could talk about dreaming and discernment, and I could talk about...
I was wondering what the other D's were.
Well, they're just, I mean, again, I think sometimes, you know, we could talk about at the top of the year, we can go, hey, what are your goals for this year? And you're literally in a dreaming phase at that point. Oh, I want to do this. I want to purge that. I want to get more flexible in this way, blah, 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 blah. None of those are decisions. But if February rolls around and I say to you, Laura, why haven't you gotten rid of any of your stuff? Why do you still have stuff in your house?
Right.
And you're like, well, what do you mean? And I go, well, you told me that you were purging this year. And now you're like, well, I don't start purging until July or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. I'm still inventorying. I'm still like data, collecting data. That'd be another D. Yeah. But I think, you know, when you frame that for people and you help them understand, no, we have to have this kind of meeting that is very specifically about, you know, we're not making any decisions until July 1st. But between now and July 1st, we're going to talk about whatever we want. We're going to whiteboard it. We're going to do their thing. But then of course, the other part that's hard is how is the decision getting made in a relationship? A vote doesn't always cut it because what if it's 1-to-1?
Right.
So sometimes you do have to decide before you decide, how are we deciding?
Got it. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I actually started that off. It was really great. Actually, I had, well, first of all, not every couple that comes to see me is on the same page. Like we decide when you have a relationship, you might have one partner. It's like a mixed agenda partner where one partner's leaning out and the other partner's leaning in. And so what I worked on with this couple where one's out, one's in is let's come up with a timeline. So everybody's in the same phase. So no decisions are being made about whether or not you're staying in the relationship or whether you're leaving the relationship. But we're just going to be in that discuss decision. Before we make any decisions, we're going to be in the discussion phase for 2 months. And then after that, and I will tell you, I just saw the two of them go,
right.
Thank you so much. And I probably had met with that couple for the first 15 minutes. By the time the 15 minutes were up, we already knew what we were going to be doing.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. That's really the principle of discernment therapy when people are trying to stay together or not. Like, okay, we're not going to make any decisions for 90 days, 2 months, whatever. Mm-hmm. That then frames the rest of it. And then in 90 days, we're going to go out to dinner. We're going to decide whether or not to stay married or whatever.
Yeah. It's interesting because usually when you're discerning, there's three routes, right? Like the first route is you do nothing. Everything that you've been doing just kind of stays the same. You don't make any changes to the relationship. You don't seek therapy. You just status quo. Another option is that you decide we're going to make this relationship as good as we possibly can. We're going to stay together. And that's going to be me helping, intervening. The third way is let's dissolve the relationship and decide we're not going to do therapy, but we're done. And then the fourth one that I have found is we need to figure out a way to co-parent. And so it's not developing an intimate relationship. It's ending an intimate relationship and developing a co-parenting relationship. That's a new avenue that I've been getting into with people.
Yeah.
All right. So 1, 2, 3, we have a fifth one that you were talking about.
This is newer, but it actually has changed. Like it is a thing that especially men come back and tell me about, which is I want to slow everything down, slow down. Mm. You know, we get into trouble because we get spun up, we get flooded,
right?
We get into, you know, easy patterns that are repeatable, that are less like muscle memory. And before you intervene in any of that stuff, you have to slow down. And so I do that a lot in my practice where I'll see the speed kind of change, or even in my house, the speed will change of the conversation. And I know at this point it's off the rails. It's like just, it's just the same conversation they've had dozens of times.
Right.
And so I'm like, hold on, let's just slow it down. Like whatever the next three sentences are, just say them literally like I am saying them now, you know, or let's take deep breaths, or let's just put a big pause in there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be, you don't lose anything by just slowing it down,
okay.
You know, and I don't know how to say it any different. I don't have a clever metaphor or story. It's just, let's just take a beat.
Right. And this has been something that people come back to you and say, game yeah. changer. This
especially
is what
defensive
I
men.
Okay.
Especially defensive men. They're like, yeah, because I will say, for example, feeling attacked isn't the same as being attacked.
Correct.
So you have to put a pause between the feeling of being attacked mm-hmm. and then the decision to counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be wrong.
Yes, absolutely. I would agree. I think that a lot of my job is slowing everything down. But I also think it is one of the hardest things to convince couples to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you're in pain, and the goal of coming to therapy is I want to be out of feeling this way. I don't want to feel this pain, and I want to go as fast as possible, and I want to rip the Band-Aid off. And my job is to focus and slow. And it is yeah. really hard.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
So that's what I got. That's my top five things. It's yellow flags. It's
yep.
sleep naked on Wednesdays. It's how about we get some ice cream? It's the best meeting you've ever been to, and slow down.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I already share my five, or did I?
You shared your top five, but they were more umbrella-ish. They were more thematic than specific,
mm-hmm.
which is usually the reverse. Usually I'm more thematic and you're more specific.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear about your top five.
I don't have them written down yet.
Well, you have
to
a
think
month.
About it. Oh, I have to.
Month.
You're putting a timeline on when I need to
You just
to get
said how
done?
Much timelines was valuable to you. But yes. we have so much cool stuff coming up in January. And it's all about sex.
All of it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay,
yeah,
we have Emily Nagoski. Who
Emily
wrote,
Nagoski, which
Come
might be
two,
are. Because we talked to her for so long and she was so cool.
she was
so we
cool.
might break it up.
Okay.
We're talking to a gal whose whole thing is around making monogamy hot.
That's right.
So she's got like a... And then we're talking to kind of the opposite gal, which is a veteran of the adult film industry. And she's talking a little bit about how that impacts relationships as far as she knows. So we have a lot of, sort of sex forward conversation in January. Hopefully it'll, you know, open some conversational doors for you and me and for people who are listening.
Can I ask that our listeners send us specific questions that are related to sexual intimacy? I think emailing.
Sure. Yeah. We
emailing.
Asked for a bunch. We asked Emily a few of them.
Yep.
I'd say particularly if you have a question for someone who is way more familiar with pornography than you are.
Yes.
That would be cool because
I would love to talk about that.
I've been listening to a lot of her interviews and she has a lot of really keen insight that I think is, I'm excited to talk to her and hear about what she has to say. So.
All right. Well, you can email info@marriagetherapyradio.com or send a message to the Instagram and Zach will. Listen
yeah,
to it.
At Marriage Therapy Radio. And listen, Happy New Year to you and to everybody who's listening. And go ahead and mark your calendars for the first weekend of March if you want to hang out with us.
We'll have more information on our website, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We'll try and figure that out too. You're supposed to say, let's land this
plane. Let's land this plane. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Save the date. It is March 3rd and 4th. It's a Friday evening from 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and Saturday from 8 until 3. That is going to be our first workshop that we are offering in 2023. We have not hosted a workshop for years and we are so excited. So if you want more information on that, send us an email at info@marriagetherapyradio.com and I will respond back with information for registration. Thanks for all of your time and energy making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.